Just on the screen there, just a few of the key points I wanted to flag. So every reporting season, we keep track of around a cohort of roughly 300 stocks that are due to report. So far, around 11% or maybe 30-odd, 35-odd stocks have actually reported. But as we've flagged before, a whopping 45 of those stocks actually released either unaudited half-year numbers or much narrowed full-year numbers for this year. So we've actually got a good bead on almost a third of the market of that group that are going to report in February. There are probably different reasons around that. COVID's preempting or prompting companies to be much more proactive on guiding the market when things are moving so quickly. I think we're just in this era now of really strong continuous disclosure. So we actually do know quite a few numbers, even though we've still got a good 80-90% of the market yet to report in February. Trends we're seeing so far is that beats are very strongly overwhelming misses, and we did flag that strongly in our reporting season preview. The ratio is about 2-to-1. I think we had about 4 or 5-to-1 in our preview piece. I think we'd like to cover the better stocks, but that's encouraging in the context of reactions needing to be better than we'd hoped or the market had hoped, given that consensus earnings have been leading the market strongly higher. So those that have stood out in terms of beating, you've got ResMed, you've got, I mean, interesting, these offshore earning franchises, you've got these large cap REA, large cap domestic franchises, Suncorp, CBA, and Telstra, pleasingly leading those beats last week. Those consensus revisions to expectations at the EPS level, upgrades have been downgrades by about 2-to-1. It's probably about 4-to-1 at the EBITDA line. So those revisions are good, and they needed to be good given the trends we saw coming into February. You go back to that preview piece again, and you've seen those revisions over the last 6 months since August. I think we've seen around a 9% upgrade to EPS numbers for FY21 on aggregate. So it's pleasing that those numbers are actually being justified by reported results so far and the trajectory of earnings revisions so far. So that's positive. Some of the interesting trends to call out, some of the better performing segments, housing most certainly. You've seen that through results through the likes of CBA and James Hardie as well, both here and offshore. I think Reliance had a really strong update leading into February. The fund managers, Pinnacle, Janus Henderson, have stood out. And again, the large cap franchises linked to a better than expected recovery in the domestic economy. The CBAs, the Telstras have been pleasingly strong. And this week, we'll get a good read on results from the likes of Coles, Wesfarmers, and some others. So again, we want to see those trends continue. Now, what I find quite interesting, and I'll just flick to a chart here. Top left, you can see how we track beats and misses. It's still pretty early, but as I said, very strongly beating so far. Top right, what has been different has been that despite you've seen these upward revisions to 21 expectations, the price revisions of these strong results have actually been quite unpredictable. So top right, I've just charted there the best and worst EPS revisions of those stocks that have reported so far versus the actual price movement in those stocks since they actually reported. So yeah, you've seen a lot of strong upgrades, if you like. There are some small stocks in there that need to be filtered out. But you can see that despite strong results, the price responses have been far less predictable and probably skewed to the downside. And that is against a market that is up 3% very strongly in February to date. So that's in part a function of the valuations that we went into February on. And I think at the XJI level, we're on 23, 24 times, which is extremely high. But I guess it's getting harder to predict, post the event, where prices will go, given how stretched valuations are in some segments. And I guess it goes back to that point where companies have been leading analysts in the market well and disclosing their numbers on the way through. So we actually kind of can preempt or predict some of this movement. And I can actually go to our predictions in our preview piece back in late January. I've just charted down the bottom there. You might recall we nominated about 40 to 45 stocks we thought would react positively to their results, and about half a dozen that would react negatively. And thankfully, the average movement on the beats is well over 5%, and the negatives is negative 2. So the calls, kudos to the analyst team, they've actually nailed their calls, even though only a handful of these things have actually reported so far. But it does show you that the market is willing to preempt the actual news itself and run these stocks in advance of their catalysts rather than waiting for the event to happen. And the exact same thing happened last reporting season, and it happened in AGM season, where most of the performance was actually had before the actual result or event itself, perhaps as a function of the market being a bit better informed this year than it has in the past. So keep a look on, or keep going back to that preview piece in January. It's proving to be pretty valuable in terms of explaining some of these movements. Just on one trend I did want to call out, on the bottom right there, I've just shown you the Aussie dollar in light blue versus the US dollar index in dark blue. It's actually over a 10-year time frame, but what's happened in the last month, since January, the Aussie dollar has traded in the range between 76 to 78 cents. It's been moving, but it's been trading kind of stuck in that range. And if you talk to Noxie, one of the most common questions he gets is, you know, how much more upside and how much further can the Aussie run? I ask him in the context of how much longer can this resources rally run for? And he's becoming even more convinced that it has further to run because of the sheer volume of that US budget deficit needed to fund the recovery that country requires from COVID. So he does talk about that enormous expansion in the US budget deficit to around 15% of GDP this year, the biggest since World War II. He thinks that is going to repeat next year. So in the context of the commodities rally, US dollar deflation and Aussie dollar inflation, he reckons that we've got at least another year to run, and so that therefore there's good upside in those thematics, if you like. And it's been interesting so far that the offshore earners in those stocks that have reported this February so far haven't really been knocked around. They've printed some pretty good numbers and better than expected numbers. ResMed in particular, you've had Amcor, James Hardie, Janus, Henderson and some others, Reliance, Macquarie. They haven't reported the impact of that Aussie dollar move yet. A lot of them do hedge, and there's moving parts in there.